So welcome everybody. Today's Life After Pain Masterclass is with Katie Dale Bout, author of the bestseller Let It Out, A Journey Through Journaling. Katie is a mentor, public speaker, and health expert, and has been featured in national media like the Daily Mail, Fox, MindBody Green, and the Telegraph. In this interview, we're going to explore journaling and how you can use it to let go of old baggage, create vitality in your life, and heal. So welcome, Katie. It's great to have you on the call.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Brilliant. So to start off, how did you discover journaling?
That's a great question. I wasn't really a writer growing up. I wasn't someone who kept a diary, but I was graduating from college and, trying to figure out how to be a person in the world and how to feed myself and what I was going to be doing with my life. And it was a pretty stressful time. And so I was reading a lot of self-help books, and I was really getting into personal growth and spirituality and personal development and just wanting to be the best version of myself and get to know myself better and, trying everything really. And I found myself in a bookstore with a gift card in the self-help section, and something told me to move out of the self-help section into the stationery section. And I just bought this colorful journal, and I honestly just started writing in it. And I was, for the first time, able to be completely raw and real and unfiltered. And I was sharing my thoughts and feelings that I was too afraid to admit to even, my family or friends or a therapist or a coach, because, there's always that sense of a fear of judgment. And I didn't have that with my journal. I could be completely real and unfiltered. And so that's kind of how I started to do it. No one exactly told me to do it. I just intuitively thought it would be helpful. And in fact, it was. So I felt, relieved. It was cathartic for me. So I kept doing it.
Right. I got to say, I personally love buying stationery. It's probably about the geekiest thing you could do, but I really look forward to it, and I really enjoy getting like a blank journal that's full of possibility.
So I agree, me too.
Yeah. So why do you think journaling works? So firstly, how does it work, and why does it do what it does for people who adopt journaling as a habit?
I don't know why it works 100%, but I do know I can speak to my experience and the experience of everyone I've, interacted with about it. But I can also say that there's been extensive research on it, and I did put that in my book, that expressive writing, so essentially, expressive writing, that means, essentially journaling, writing about your thoughts and feelings, directly relates to your happiness and health. And there's been multiple studies. I've just read another one last week, actually, about this that came out of a university here that I don't even remember the name of. But anyway, the point is, there's been lots of studies that can tell you this more scientifically than I can. But I can speak to my experience. And I think it's helpful because, like I said before, you're able to be authentic and real. And that allows you for self-awareness, and that self-awareness you can bring to yourself, your career, your relationships in a way that you might not have been able to before. And I think that's one reason why it's helpful. And then I think also, it can help you be more in touch with your own voice, your own creativity, your intuition. It's great for, getting in touch with your intuition. It's something that's just a really meaningful experience, I think, where you're able to figure out, sort out all the millions of thoughts we have in our brain and kind of look at them objectively and decide which ones are helpful and which ones are holding you back. Sometimes when you have them swirling around in your brain, they're on automatic and you're not able to objectively see what's going on there. But if you actually write them down, getting them out of your head into the page, you're able to sort through them, look at them, and it can be really helpful.
That is very interesting, because there's a concept of self-talk, and I mean, most of our audience are people who have chronic pain, and often, you know, when they start to become aware of the self-talk, the kind of voice in their head, some people are really astonished at how incredibly negative and critical it is. I think in your book you also talk about this, using journaling as a tool to start to interrupt or change the path of repetitive thoughts. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Yes. I think, you know, like I said, we have 60,000 thoughts a day. And a lot of them, like you mentioned, are repeat thoughts. They're thoughts that we think on autopilot, and they might not be positive. They might actually be holding us back. They might be keeping us stuck. They might be really damaging. And if we can, you know, become aware of them, awareness is the very first step to change. So if we can become aware of our thoughts, then we can, you know, try to change them. And I think that's really, really important.
So what kind of, if you were to create a sort of a daily minimum dose or a prescription for somebody who's thinking about starting journalism, journaling.
Yeah.
What would that look like?
Well, you know, I think there's so many wellness practices and so many things that people tell you to do, and they're all great. You know, I think doing things that can help your health and happiness are fantastic. But I think what also can be challenging is when there's so many things to do and shoulds that it can be overwhelming. And so the last thing I want to do is add another should to anyone's plate. And I think what's helpful is if, you know, people can just do what works for them. So maybe it's, you know, in the morning or in the evening or on the weekend when you have some time, just ask yourself a good question and you'll likely get a good answer from your intuition, right? So if you ask yourself a question like, why is everything so terrible? The answer you'll get is your mind will actually find things to make things terrible. But if you say, you know, how could things improve or how can I make the situation better? And just let your intuition and kind of free ride on that, it's likely that you'll be able to see things very differently if you reframe the question in that way. So it's about, you know, just using that time to be with yourself and be present with yourself. And that's important because in this day and age, we're on our phones and we're multitasking and we're doing a million things. And there's so few times where you're doing one thing at a time. And journaling is one of the few times where you're forced to do literally one thing at a time. You really can't, you know, be driving and journaling or, you know, listening to a podcast and journaling. You really have to just be journaling. You need your brain and your hands, and you have to just kind of sit there and do it. And that, I think, right there is a benefit that I didn't mention. You know, that's another really great benefit. So I think that's really important. And, you know, the other thing I'll say is, my book is great, a great resource for tools, and, you know, getting those prompts, but really just, you know, spending that time with yourself, being present, and then also being really real and really authentic and not filtering and saying actually what you're afraid to say, what you're afraid to write about, is really helpful.
Well, let's dive into some of those exercises, because you've got some great ones here. I was particularly looking under the Let It Out to Heal chapter. We've got this wonderful list of tools like an honest letter to your condition or the surrender list. Could you go through some of those just to give people an idea of what's in the book?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, I don't have the book in front of me, and I wrote it. It came out a year ago, and I wrote it, you know, almost 2 years ago. But I think one of the tools you mentioned, the love letter to your condition, is a really important one, because what that tool has you do is look at all the ways that, you know, the thing that you're dealing with, the thing that's painful, actually has brought good into your life, and reframing that and saying that even though this is terrible, I'm learning from it. And what am I meant to learn here? And I think that can be really helpful and can shift the perspective. And I think, you know, there's so many, as I'm sure you know, our minds and bodies are so connected. So looking at that from a perspective of how can I take the way that I'm seeing this on autopilot and flip it? And that's what I think journaling and those tools really allows you to do.
It's like a way to become more aware of what's going on in your mind and body and what kind of thoughts, and then I guess by extension, what kinds of habits you have that you may not even know that you have.
Exactly, exactly.
Interesting. So, I mean, are there any particular things that when you, you know, people who've got, you know, feedback from the book or people that you've taught journaling to, are there any particular stumbling blocks that people come across when they start this as a practice?
Yes, and that's why I wrote the book, actually, because I loved this tool so much, this practice of journaling so much. It made me so happy, but I would try to share it with other people and they were really resistant to it. You know, they were like, well, I'm not a writer. I wouldn't have anything to say. And that's, you know, when I really came to writing this book, because then I was like, well, people can have a tool that will actually guide them through it and will actually, you know, they can follow these steps and be able to, you know, have an experience with journaling. But I think what's interesting about the resistance to it is a lot of times people are just scared to be present with themselves. Like, we don't want to fully be with ourselves. And that's something that I think can be very jarring to people, because journaling forces you to put that mirror up in your face of like the feelings you don't want to feel and the things you're afraid to feel. And that can be scary. And that's the last thing that we want to do. But a lot of times the most important thing we need to do for our healing and our growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Have there ever been times when you've found, or people that you've coached have found, that when they journal, they're actually, you know, quite surprised or maybe a little bit, maybe even shocked, I don't know, with the things that come up, that came up once they really take the filters off and stop censoring what they've written?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's jarring. Like I said, I think it's something that people don't want to talk about or think about, that, you know, journaling can be that mirror that is up in your face of something that you haven't wanted to feel and you haven't wanted to spend time with yourself to acknowledge. And once it's out there, you're aware of it. So then you can decide how you want to deal with it. You know, do you want to have that tough conversation, or do you want to start to heal this, you know, thing that you've been dealing with, or are you even ready to do that? And I think if you can share it with yourself and get honest with yourself, then maybe you can take that conversation to a friend or a therapist or someone in your life. And I think that's kind of when the real healing begins.
What does it look like if, so say somebody's starting to journal and, you know, all these things come up and they start to deal with them? What is the reward? Like, what does it look like after going through that? What have you found? Is there any common commonalities between people who've gone through the process of journaling or have made it part of their lives?
I mean, I think there's lots of different outcomes. You know, I think definitely it helps people to get to know themselves better, which I think is the ideal situation. And I think the main benefit to myself is when I'm writing in my journal, I'm real, I'm authentic, I'm vulnerable, which with everyone in my life, I'm filtering a little bit because I want to be liked, right? Like I want to, I'm really honest, like I'm a people pleaser. I want to be liked. I want people to feel safe, you know, but in my journal, I can say the really raw thoughts I'm having, the really like lofty goals I'm afraid to admit because people might think I'm, you know, crazy, or the really intense dark thoughts I have that are really negative that I'm afraid of people to know. But if I can at least admit them to myself, then, you know, that is where, again, the choice to change it can start.
Were there any surprising benefits that you found once you started journaling?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, knowing myself better was something that was surprising, and getting ideas and feeling, you know, really connected with my intuition and, you know, like a power greater than me, like coming through when I'm writing. I know that sounds really lofty and intense, but I do feel like sometimes when I'm writing and I'm being really myself, and I can feel like it's my intuition. It's like that part of me that, you know, knows when something's off or knows that it's the right way to go. And that's really, really helpful.
It's interesting. A few people that are, that, you know, long-time journalers have written that once they really get into the flow of journaling, maybe they tapping into their subconscious or something like that, or their intuition, and it sort of it feels like a different part of them that's not usually maybe present but isn't at the forefront of their awareness.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's common. I completely agree.
Is there a time frame, I'm wondering, for people, you know, when they're first starting, maybe it takes a while to kind of get in the groove and then get to, I don't know, the good stuff. You know, because I'm just wondering if you've observed a sort of for people who are thinking of starting this, just to give them some incentive to not just try it for a day and then give up. What is the sort of, have you observed any kind of time frame in the effectiveness or starting to get some benefits from journaling?
I mean, I think it can happen the first time, or it can happen, you know, much later. But I think it depends on how open you are. You know, it depends on if you have a good question, if you have a good guide. It might be really easy to sort through the thoughts in your mind and go right there. If you've been doing personal growth work for a while, like it'll be really simple. If you haven't, you know, spent time in therapy or spent time with yourself, that you might, you know, start writing about like what you ate for dinner and not about like the really vulnerable, real secret that you have right at first. And that's okay. But I think, you know, keep trying it. But I think the answer will be different for everyone.
Are there any pieces of advice you could give for people who are really struggling with censoring themselves? Because it's one of the traits that's commoner among people with chronic pain is they tend to be either carers, so that they look after everyone else first, or they tend to sacrifice themselves, and that has a cost if you don't also look after yourself. But coming with that is a strong kind of censoring to not put yourself first and maybe ignore some of your deeper wishes and desires. So do you have any thoughts on for people who are really, you know, having difficulty being authentic or being raw when they journal?
I mean, I think, again, don't force it, but I think it's just about, you have to trust that no, it's only for you. You're not writing this for anyone else. You have to really like feel safe that no one's going to read it and that no one's going to like invade your privacy, and that you have the time and space to actually be fully real with yourself, and you don't have to protect any other people or anyone else's feelings, where you would if you were doing a creative project that was being shared. So a blog post or writing a book about it or something, you would have to take those things into account. But with journaling, you don't have to do that. It's just for you. So you have to know it's just for you to be able to feel safe enough to share those things.
Right. Yeah, for me personally, when I'm writing fast, my writing is so bad that I can't really read it either. So that's one kind of fail-safe way of making sure that, you know, it's a private journal. But I guess it depends what medium you use and what your handwriting is like. But I know some people like to, you know, throw their journals away after a certain amount of time as well, just, I don't know, to sort of safeguard it in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay. Huh. And what's your journaling practice like? What does it look like?
It's different. It depends on the season. It depends on what I have going that day, if I'm traveling. But I really like to write in the morning if I can. I like to do kind of like a morning pages situation where, you know, I write about what I'm feeling that day, what my dreams were like, what I'm excited about, what I'm grateful for, what I'm nervous about, what I'm excited about, and I just kind of see where it goes. And some days it's really profound and beautiful. Some days it's kind of like a story of what I did yesterday, or some days it's, you know, more of a list of what I need to do. And other days it's really brief, and that's kind of what I've been doing lately. And I like to, other times in my life, I'll go through periods of time where I'm writing a lot at night and I'm spending a lot of time kind of reflecting, you know, in my bed before bed, but it just depends. And I think, and sometimes I write during the day, little things, but it, and there might be periods of time where I don't journal at all. And then I feel really pregnant with something I need to process. And I sit down to journal for like a long period of time. So it just honestly depends on the day, depends on what I have going and what I feel like doing.
Right. So you don't have any kind of fixed schedule that you must keep to.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. Is there anything you notice if you haven't journaled for several days? Do you notice it has an effect on your normal day-to-day life?
You know, no, I don't. I like to do it consistently, but I don't think that I'm, you know, a worse off person if I don't. I think it is helpful, but I don't like to make things do or die. I think that's unhelpful, because then you'll just feel bad about yourself if you don't get it in for whatever reason.
I sort of loop back because I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on the process of letting go of things and how journaling fits into that, because it's an incredibly important thing, and it's an internal process that for some people is not exactly clear. And I'm just wondering what your experience has been in terms of letting go of past hurts or sorrows or injustices, how that process is helped by journaling.
That's a great question. You know, I think just admitting to yourself that you're feeling that way is one thing that's helpful. And then, you know, from there, deciding what you want to do about it, deciding if it's something that you want to, like, you have to be willing to let it go. And sometimes you might not be ready. And sometimes you might feel like you aren't ready to let this go. And therefore, it's going to keep holding you back. And it's going to keep making you sad, because that's, you know, where you're at. And that's okay. But eventually know that you're going to, you either have to let it go or it's going to keep making you sad. And that's a choice you're going to have to make.
Interesting. Is there ever a danger that if you keep revisiting something when you journal, you're kind of underlining it? Or is that something that you've ever heard people, or had that experience yourself? Or is it generally just a helpful thing to get outside of yourself?
I don't know. I mean, I tend to think getting it out is helpful. And then, you know, sometimes there's an exercise in my book where you tear it up and put it in the toilet and then flush it or burn it or, you know, whatever. I think those things can be really cathartic. But, you know, if it starts to feel that way, it starts to feel like if you're journaling about the same negative thing every single day, then that's probably not healthy. But if you just need to, like, admit it, and let it go, then maybe that is really healthy. You know, I think it's just, there's this great Pema Chodron quote that says, nothing ever goes away until it teaches us what we need to know. So I think, you know, letting yourself feel something and acknowledge it so it can teach you what it needs to teach you is really helpful. And then, you know, you can let it go from there.
That's actually a really great question. You were talking before about asking good questions. It's just to look at what you've been learning from a difficult situation, or what you may have learnt from something difficult that happened in the past. So,
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, Katie, I want to be, you know, respectful of your time, and also the fact that it's late at night and you've been getting over a cold. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And, you know, to everybody.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And I'll be putting underneath this interview links to your book. Are there any other places that people who want to know more about you and your work and journaling could go? Where would you recommend they head over to?
I mean, just my website, katiedalebout.com, and my social media is all at katiedalebout, and I have a really cool email newsletter that I send out every once in a while, and if you want to get on that, I send you my Katie's favorite things. I always say that in my Oprah voice, but I'll send you like a curated links to all of my favorite things when you sign up for the email list. So I really enjoyed doing that.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. So Katie, thank you very much. And great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.